Welcome to Sensor Noise, a podcast about photography. I'm Andrew, joined as always by my co-host, Arthur Rosa. Yes. Arthur, how are you?
Rabbit. I'm supposed to say that, right? It's the first of the month.
Yeah. It's also April Fool's Day. I did not bother to think of an April Fool's joke because, frankly, there's enough of them in the
world. Yeah, I can't be bothered to do that.
This day. Yeah. I did see some darkroom film developing company account on Instagram, like photoshopped a box of Kodak Color Plus to make it color minus. They're like, it's a new black and white film. And I was like,
yeah, no one's ever done that before.
Yeah. So that was something. I don't know.
Okay.
They momentarily got me because it was in the Discover page, right? And I saw something that looked like a Kodak box, but was different from what I'm used to. And I was like, right. It's that, which I feel like is the experience of April Fool's Day, right? You're like, right. Oh,
man.
Yeah.
It's every once in a while, they come up with a good idea and then you're disappointed.
Yeah. And then they're like, isn't that ridiculous that we would ever even think of doing that? It's like, I mean, no, but
yeah.
Anyway,
brands need to be stopped. You know, at least this with the death of Twitter, I don't see as many as I used to. So that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of brands, this is a news heavy episode. Weirdly large number of camera news. What am I saying? There was an unusually large quantity of photographic news last
year. Yeah, and all of it's actually good.
Yeah,
this time
we got some new Z mount lenses. Nikon has a brand new 28-400 f/4-8
400. That is huge.
There's really, like, if you are a beginner Nikon, you know, Z mount user and you want to buy one lens, you could do far worse than this one.
Yeah,
seriously. This is a pretty good one. It's even weather sealed, you know.
I hope they start including this one in some kits.
That would be cool. Yeah.
What's the kit lens right now? Is it like
the kit lens is a well, at least for like mine and for the Z6, it's a 24-70 f/4.
Okay, that's not bad either.
Yeah,
but I would rather have this, I think.
Yeah, I'd rather have. I mean, because this is. I mean, I have a 35-150, but this is like. I mean, geez.
and it's pretty good for focusing as well. It has a minimum focus of 8 inches at 28 millimeters.
Yeah, yeah.
And 3 feet at 400 millimeters. It's pretty good.
Yep.
This is better even than the, what did they have before? They had a 28-300 for F mount, I think,
at the end there. That was the F mount, 28-300, which this is longer than and lighter than.
Yeah.
It has a slightly lower aperture than that F mount lens, but digital, whatever.
Yeah, stuff. But if you have, what's nice is like it's an F8 aperture, right? So at night it's going to be pretty dark.
Yeah.
But they say at a minimum the lens itself provides 5 stops of vibration reduction.
Yeah.
And then if you have the second gen Z series, so Z6II, Z7II, Z8IX, and ZF, you get 5.5 stops.
Yeah.
Because then it will use both the lens and the in-body one.
And I'm just looking at the sample images here, and I have to say that they are indeed photographs.
Yeah, they sure are.
And this article says, my impression from these crops is that we're looking at a pretty typical super zoom, not unusually sharp based on these photos. And I would say that that is indeed what this is supposed to be. It's not really a lens that's meant to blow anything out of the water in terms of image quality. It's meant to be your one lens, if that's what you need it to be.
Yep.
Yeah,
but like, I mean, it's pretty damn good. I'm
yeah,
not gonna lie.
Yeah.
And like, if you want to suggest one lens for somebody to buy,
right,
this is yeah, probably it's like the one you the want
28-400.
Yeah. It's pretty compact. It looks like it's even smaller than like my 24-70. It's light, it's under 2 pounds.
Yeah.
No downsides as far as I can see.
Mm-hmm. Next up, Tamron has brought their 28-75 lens to Z mount. This was previously available for E mount cameras. Well, and indeed still is, but they've now brought it over to the Z mount. This is a f/2.8 lens, pretty good, standard zoom.
So now option. there's three standard zooms in
the
24-70 range.
Mm-hmm.
There's two of these 28-75s, so the Tamron one and the Nikon one, which isn't the Nikon one Tamron or is the Nikon one Sigma? I forget.
I don't remember.
It's very confusing. The Nikon sells their own 28-75 2.8. That is,
it's probably, I think it's probably a Tamron because they own part of Tamron, right? So
then why is there a Tamron branded branded lens that is
I don't know
the same
I
guess, as the Nikon one and the I same guess price also.
Tamron was like, well, we have this lens with an E-mount and like all we have to do to make it on we just have to modify it slightly to put on its E-mount kind of thing. So
no, what I'm saying, like if the Nikon lens is literally this lens,
yeah. Why? I don't know if it is. I'd be curious. Yeah.
It's the same focal, like it's a strange focal length.
Yeah.
And it's the same as the Nikon one.
Yeah. This claims to be slightly lighter.
It's a little better.
Yeah.
So, okay, the Nikon one is the Tamron first generation 28-75.
And this is
which is 15 elements. And this is the second generation, which is 17 elements. There you
go. Yeah. Right.
Does that make that much of a difference?
Anyway.
Probably not.
Yeah. But then you can also step up to the Nikon 24-70S lens, which is a Nikon lens.
$2,500 now?
$2,100 for a limited time.
I bought that one used.
Or you can buy this for, it's $1,000 right now. It'll probably come down $100 or $200 bucks.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So what I hope they do now is so they've got this 28-75. Mm-hmm. Now I want to see them do, we're missing two from the lineup, right? We're missing the, 70-200 and the 14-24.
Well, they got a 70-300 already.
For Nikon?
Yeah.
Okay.
For Nikon Z mount. But they don't have a wide angle zoom. Yeah.
Oh, I'm seeing that they do already also have a 35-150 for Z mount.
Yeah, that's the one I have. That's great.
Odd. That's an odd range, but sure.
It is an odd range, but it's like the street photography range. It's perfect.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I hope
honestly, it's great for like studio stuff with a bunch of people too, because I can be shooting close up to someone and I can turn around and zoom in and get a good shot, without having to walk over. Anyway. It's a good lens. I recommend it.
Glad that there's more competition in this area, like the professional to semi-professional standard zooms.
Yeah. I can also say if Tamron comes out with a wide angle zoom, I would probably buy that so fast.
I hope they do. I didn't even buy the Nikon professional one. I just bought the F4 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
The 14-24, which is great. But the professional wide angle is just, it's too expensive. It's almost $3,000 now.
Yeah. That's a problem with, I feel like that's a problem with the Z mount lenses on the high end, is that they're,
That's the problem with all of these mirrorless lenses on the high end.
Yeah.
Because especially now, if Tamron and Sigma are going to be making lenses for Nikon has no reason to compete with them on price.
Yeah,
they can just make the most expensive ones for themselves and leave the rest to the other brands, which is what they did for F mount largely, though they had some decent, lower end ones.
Yeah,
but you just rely on the third parties to make the good lenses for the cheaper price,
mm-hmm.
which I think is fine as long as they're allowed to do it, unlike, Canon, where they're not still.
Yeah.
They haven't resolved that, have they?
They claim to be working on it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Okay.
we'll check in on a year and see how that's doing.
Yeah.
So this next one, there's this company called Picto that makes a Mac app. And the idea with Picto is you kind of hook it up to your photos library in Apple Photos, you hook it up to Lightroom, you hook it up to all of your libraries, and then you can kind of see them all together and search across all of them. So that's the idea. It works with Lightroom, Luminar, Capture One, DxO, Pixelmator, Apple Photos, Aperture, if you still have your Aperture library kicking around.
If you're still on a Power Mac G5.
Yeah. The idea is it works with all of them and lets you have one place where you can see all of the libraries together, which is kind of useful.
Yeah.
And it has some AI stuff in there to like do automated searching and categorization and whatnot. But what they've done is added a plugin for Lightroom. That's a Lightroom specific plugin that does AI search on your Lightroom libraries. And what's nice about this is you can have multiple Lightroom catalogs and it can search through all of them all at once and do all sorts of AI stuff, you know, search for a picture with a dog on a boat or whatever, and it'll find that.
Yeah.
Searching for all sorts of stuff. So I think this is nice. It's not available to try yet. I wanted to try it out and talk about it, but it doesn't seem like it's available yet. What is nice about it is that they are selling a lifetime license.
Oh,
that's pretty good. So for $100, you can get a lifetime license for this thing. But otherwise, their subscription is $65 every 2 years, which doesn't seem that bad either.
Yeah. You can pre-order it.
Yeah, it's not available yet. It is also supposed to do all of this offline, which I think is very interesting. So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, realistically, I have no idea how long this will be useful, because I'm certain that Adobe will just like do this.
Yeah, probably.
So how long will this product be useful? I don't know.
Yeah.
But it does seem like a really good tool to search through big Lightroom catalogs.
Next is more compact camera news. There's new versions of the Ricoh GR3 and 3X.
Yeah.
They're called HDF models because they have a new highlight diffusion filter.
Yep.
To easily capture softer, dreamier photos.
It makes your lights have a halo around them.
Yeah.
And apparently this needs to be...
basically makes everything look mildly foggy.
Yeah. And I guess this needs to be in the camera for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't snap on the front with a magnet or something. Like I don't understand why this is.
Yeah, it's in. Yeah, I don't either. I wonder if you can adjust the intensity of the effect, because in some of these photos,
it does not seem like you can.
Yeah.
I think it operates like, I think the GR3X used to have this, and I'm guessing they replaced it with this filter. There was a neutral density filter that you could turn on. And my Fuji X100 has that too, where you can toggle a neutral density filter and it like slides up over the sensor or something.
Yeah.
I'm guessing this is the same thing.
It says since they incorporate the new highlight diffusion filter, they no longer include the ND filter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's literally like a piece of plastic or glass in there that moves over the lens.
Yeah. To me, this kind of feels like Ricoh trying to like keep these cameras going.
Yeah.
And I don't think they have like a full-fledged like GR4 ready yet or whatever.
No.
So, you know, good luck. I mean, I tried a GR3. The addition of this filter, it does not make me want to go out and get one anymore. But
now, granted, they're having the same stock issues that Fuji is.
So, like, right.
Yes. Evidently, it's working.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know how long that will last now, because the main thing that the GR series had over the Fuji was the stabilization. But the Fuji has that now. So,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah, because they're both APS-C sensors.
They are.
Yeah.
Though the Ricoh is a lot more compact. That is something that's nice.
I don't know. There, we've got the GR3, the GR3X, the GR3 Diary Edition, the GR3 Street Edition, the GR3 Urban Edition, the GR3X Urban Edition, and now the GR3 HDF and GR3X HDF. So I guess they just love SKUs over there.
Yeah. Now we should note that this has been 5 years since the GR3 came out.
Yeah. What I see people clamoring for in the comments that would actually probably make sense for them to do is a GR monochrome. And I feel like
that would work.
Yeah. Just release one of these with a monochrome sensor, you know?
Yeah. People, it is also worth noting that these are half the price of the Fuji.
Yeah. Well, and people like the Leica monochrome ones, yeah, they're obviously ridiculously expensive. So something like this, I think, would be more accessible. People would be into it. I don't know.
Yeah, I want free ideas. Someone to make a monochrome camera that's actually affordable.
Hmm.
I don't see why that's so difficult.
Have you considered just putting a roll of HP5 in your film camera?
Now, hold on there.
Time out. Kodak Color Minus, maybe.
More that just like
what they should have done is, because you know the Kodak had XX and then Tri-X, they should have done Quad-X, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my, someone else can use that next year. That's a free idea from me, so. Yeah, not copyrighted, no copyright intended, you know. Next we have this was very interesting because this is large format camera news, which rarely happens. And in fact, it's so rare that this doesn't show up. This isn't even on the radar of like DP Review and Petapixel. You have to be on the true sicko websites to find this kind of stuff. Do you know of Intrepid Camera at all?
I don't know.
So they're a British company that makes like brand new large format cameras, which is, I think they're pretty much the only one. They're relatively inexpensive. You can get a 4x5 camera for $388.
Yeah, and even the 8x10 is $650. That's right.
But crucially, that does not include the lens. And
well, still, I mean,
yes. But until this point, like if you wanted a large format camera, you would have had to, you know, beg, borrow, or steal a large format lens from somewhere. And Intrepid has decided to address this problem by unveiling a new 150mm large format lens, which they say will launch later this year.
Wow, that is thick, huh?
It's a thick boy. Yeah, ooh, here's what they say about it. They're like, look, this isn't meant to be like a super high quality lens. This is meant to be a lens to get you into large format, you know?
Yeah, sure.
It's affordable and most importantly, like available. So, yeah. They're working on it. Of course, the thing with these large format camera lenses is that they also incorporate the shutter mechanism as well.
Right. Yeah.
So that's, you know, part of the, I guess, complication in the design here. But basically they started the project at the beginning of 2023 to see if they could make a simple starter lens and shutter using off the shelf parts. And so they made, this is an electronic shutter on this, and then 150mm lens. Still needs a bit of work. Great for portraits. It's almost too shallow at f4.5, but they think it's not quite sharp enough overall, so they're working on that. This is interesting to me, just because, you know, new lenses. I feel like the idea of a company who has not made a lens before starting to make a lens is quite novel.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
And then this being a large format lens. And also this lens, they're going to put it up on Kickstarter. They're aiming for a price of around 250 to 350 British pounds, which is,
all right, sure,
you know, not that much. No. So cheaper than the other lenses we just talked about.
I mean, what does a used large format lens go for?
$600 to $800, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm seeing
not cheap.
I see a Nikkor W.
Yeah.
F5.6, 180mm for $300.
Yeah. On eBay. Now,
yeah, they're not cheap.
Let me say this to listeners, you know, if this tempts you to want to get into large format, tread very carefully.
Yeah, maybe don't.
Yeah, because as an example, 10 sheets of Kodak Ektar 100 4x5 film is $76. That's right. So if, I mean, on the other hand, if you looked at the price of, 35 millimeter Ektar and thought, you know, that's just not expensive enough. Boy, have I got the product for you.
Yeah, how much you want to spend on this bad boy? Camera's only $300, but
they are really cool, and I've seen people use them, and you can even get, you know, there are folks who have like ultra large format cameras, like 22x20 or something. Sure. And you can, that's the kind of like, you can't even get film for that like regularly. There's like 1 week, or maybe it's 2 weeks a year, where Ilford offers like ultra large format film for you to buy, and it's like a group buy sort of thing where you have to meet a minimum for the film to actually get made. So yeah,
it doesn't seem like a great hobby to get into, to be honest.
If you
have an elderly relative who has a large format film camera in their attic, maybe get into it that way.
Yeah.
Don't start from nothing, though.
Yeah, the Ilford Photo Ultra Large Format campaign runs for about a month and a half every year.
That's still not that long.
But you also get a choice of only three of their films. Okay. So,
well, yeah. Not great.
Those are depths of the, you know, film photography hobby to which I have not yet descended, you know. Yeah. So
I
probably won't, because geez.
Yeah, no kidding.
Sony added content authenticity stuff to the new Alpha cameras, or at least they were trying to. They rolled out a new firmware update and then had to pull it back because it broke network connectivity.
Yeah, is it actually there or no?
Nikon said
that they were supposed to add it to the Z9 like ages ago, and
maybe
they didn't.
I mean, I guess it's better to say at this point that they tried to release a firmware update. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe they were distracted because they also unveiled last week a new 247 megapixel medium format sensor.
Yeah, this is crazy.
This, I would say, you know, the thing that I have told people is like, oh, medium format's neat because you can't really get a camera that has, you know, as much resolution as a medium format frame. But this is probably pretty close.
Yeah.
It's a 247 megapixel medium format image sensor, roughly the same size as the 100 and 150 megapixel sensors in the Phase 1 IQ4 Digital Max and Hasselblad H6D series.
This is cool, but wouldn't you need like so much light for this as to make it not particularly useful?
Well,
like the pixels are tiny.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll find out. You know, it's early days. To contextualize the sheer pixel count, the 247 megapixel image is 19,200 pixels wide and 12,800 pixels tall. So
what, a RAW for this thing is a gigabyte?
probably, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm seeing, looking at Sony's thing, it looks like the sensor that my camera uses, like the 47 megapixel Z7 sensor, has a pixel size of 2.315 micrometers. And this thing has 2.81, so it actually would be fine.
Yeah.
I think.
Because it's just big is the thing. I guess. So...
Now it is only targeted for industrial use at the moment.
But I think that's just like starting out. Yeah.
Unless they don't have any customers for it. Cause you remember Sony doesn't sell medium format cameras.
Right.
So they have to have somebody willing to buy this thing to put in something.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Fuji, but they make their own. So
who would, yeah, I don't know.
Who would buy this? Like, I don't actually know who would purchase this sensor.
I don't know, but it's interesting, I guess.
Yeah. It's also only 12 frames per second.
Yeah.
Apparently at most.
Yeah.
So you can't use it. Like, my thought is for video, right? You could do your IMAX video on this thing or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not high enough frame rate for that yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. I mean, this pixel size marches on. We're going to keep getting bigger and bigger sensors.
Yep. Yep.
Whether that's good or not, it depends on what they put it in.
Yeah, you know, they're going to keep shrinking the pixels until they reach, like, atomic limits, I guess.
Yeah, at a certain point, you know, the size of a photon becomes a bit of a limit.
Yeah, you can't really get any smaller than that. Yeah.
I mean, that's all semiconductors now, right? We're approaching, like, the smallest possible features. Yeah. It can't really get smaller.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Maybe by the time I have enough money to get into medium format.
Buy a Hasselblad?
No, I'd probably go Fuji.
Yeah.
It's, like, affordable.
Yeah. Isn't that... That's what a concept.
You know? I know, right?
Yeah. what have you been up to lately? Have you done any photography lately?
I did an event. I did a wedding reception type thing.
Okay.
Did you shoot
digital for that?
Yeah. I shot digital. It went fine, mostly. Lighting was a challenge. Was in a venue that had those, like, overhead, very cool toned lights. So I had to do a lot of fixing after the fact.
Yeah.
Because they looked, I mean, everybody looked like a ghost.
I love white balancing.
Yeah. I set a manual one, and then I had to fix it afterwards because everything looked terrible.
Yeah.
But the event was good. I mean, the challenge I always have with those is that when I'm doing an event like that, I want to get candids mostly. Mm-hmm. I want to get pictures of people interacting. And so I bring usually a longer lens so I can stand further away from people. But people still pose for you.
Yeah.
Like, if they see you, then they'll pose. And I don't want them to do that.
Yeah, it's like, stop that. Pretend I'm not here.
That's a challenge. I got some good ones, but not as many as I would have liked. The space was a little tight, so it was kind of hard to maneuver around to get further away from people.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I mean, I have good luck with those kind of events usually.
Yeah.
I get some decent ones.
Yeah.
What about you? What have you been doing?
I once again rented a studio with some of my friends.
He can't keep getting away with this.
I know. It's well, there are. Wait a minute, because I actually made and if you're in the Columbus area and want access to this, you can let me know. I made an Airtable sheet of, like, the studio, the rentable studios that I know of, and there are 20 of them. Wow. So we're spoiled for choice over here.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
This is one that I hadn't been to, which was nice. And yeah, I think we had a good time. The lighting was pretty good. I also brought my strobes and tried to do some stuff with that. Tried to do some, like, shutter drags that didn't go so well. I sort of resent that in the class that I took on that, the guy made them look very easy. And then when I tried to do what he was doing, I was like, what, how, wait a minute. Why are my results so bad? What did I miss here? You know, I don't know. But I guess that's just technique. You just got to practice, I guess. I don't know.
Practice is hard.
Yeah. Practice. I have a lot of very goofy shots of, like, one of my friends just holding an LED tube light, you know, because, like, the shutter speed was not slow enough kind of thing. Overall, I am pretty happy with how the photos that I took there turned out.
That's good. So what do you said you have goofy shots. What do you do with those?
It depends. If they're really bad, I will just trash them. But if they're like you know, amusing, funny candids, I do like to keep those, and I'll like send them to the people or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I always struggle with what to do with those because I feel like people don't. Some people want to see them. Other people like really don't want to see them.
Yeah. I guess I've not yet run into a situation where someone doesn't want to see them, you know, or that's like weird. We'll have the thing too, where someone's modeling, you know, and they are holding like a very like neutral facial posture for such a long time that they, you know, they just have to like make a funny face to like break it up, you know? So
sure.
Those are fun. Sense. Yeah. Or catch someone like in this, in this instance, the model was posing and then one of my other friends was saying something and then the model started, you know, joining the conversation very animatedly, you know.
Yeah. It was
good. Yeah. Nice. And then I have my social calendar for this month is quite full.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because there is the eclipse is next week.
Monday. Yes, that's right. It sure is, huh?
Yeah. And then there's a film photography meetup, which we'll talk about in a little bit, which is the weekend after that. And then there's another photo walk the weekend after that. And yeah, so
jeez,
I'm busy, which is kind of novel for me. But it's
good, though, I think. Yeah.
Yes. My counselor is encouraged.
I have travel this month. I have to go. Well, maybe travel. We'll see. My youngest brother does FIRST Robotics, and his team won their competition the other day.
Are they? Well, I guess it is April. I'm like, geez, are they already in it? Because I was like, I swear the year just started like a week ago, you know. But yeah, I guess they've been at it for 3 months already.
They
working
have.
On the road, but.
And district championships is this week. It starts Wednesday. So they originally weren't going to qualify, but they won the event over the weekend. And so now they qualify and they won chairman's whatever chairman's is these days. And
I don't know.
Yeah. If they do well enough at district champs, then they'll have enough points to qualify for world champs in Houston.
Hmm.
And I'll go down to that. I booked a plane ticket. If they make it, I'll go. That'll give me an opportunity to do a different kind of photography.
Yeah.
Robot photography,
yeah.
Which I used to do, but not with any of the equipment that I have now. I'll be able to get some better ones, hopefully.
Yeah. Or you're going to need a Zoom because you'll be in the stands or whatever. So
I think they'll let me on the floor. I'm important enough.
Probably. Listen, yeah, just show up with a lanyard of some kind, you know.
No. So like I, my dad and I maintain the tool that all of the game announcers use.
Oh.
So we actually are somewhat important.
Yeah, you're like listen.
Yeah. So we'll see. That'll give me a good opportunity because the robots are cool and the kids that do it are very expressive. You can get some really good portraits of the kids doing the event. So that's what I'm looking forward to. That'll be in 2 weeks if they go.
Now, riddle me this. Do you have photos that you've taken like framed and hung up?
I do.
How many? Like a handful, several handfuls?
I think there are some in each room of my house at this point.
Okay.
Maybe a couple dozen.
Yeah. Because I went to some friend's house.
Yeah.
And they had, you know, an absolute ton of their images up on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I also went to a friend's studio and he has been getting stuff printed out and pasted on the wall. And I'm like, yeah, that's probably a good idea because I don't have a lot of decor, you know, wall decorations or whatever. So I went to IKEA, just bought frames. And now I'm trying to figure out what photos I should actually print out, you know. And I feel like it's slightly weird because I have a lot of photos that are of people.
Yeah. I think like, you can put like a photos person. Of people on your wall. Okay. I've got photos of my friends up.
Yeah.
I don't think that's,
I don't know that. I guess that reads as weird to me. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it's fine. Like, you don't have kids and neither do I.
Yeah.
Normal people put up photos of their kids, right. But we don't have that. So.
Cause what I was doing was searching through my library for like, you know, interesting, you know, nature or architecture or whatever street photos to print. And sure. You know, there's just not that many of them that I think are worth printing, I guess. I don't know. I think I'm also just being my own harshest critic.
Well, yeah, that's the trap there.
Wow.
Yes. That's the trap you're falling into is like, none of these are good enough to print. No, they are. They are good enough to print.
I don't know. I don't know.
So how are you planning on printing them? I guess that's a question.
Well, I have one of the little Canon selfie printers that can print out 4x6s. So for little printers, I can do those myself. For larger prints, I haven't really thought about it yet.
Selfie. S-E-L-P-H-Y.
Yes, that's correct.
That's horrendous.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a pretty neat little printer that makes pretty high quality prints.
So it's die sub.
Yeah. It's die sub. Yeah.
Interesting.
But they come out like, you know, like you would get, you know, Kodak prints from
sure.
You know, from Walgreens or whatever.
So what I do, like we have a printer that sort of, I mean, it's okay as a photo printer. It's just an inkjet, but it's one of the ones that has like six or seven colors. So it actually does a decent job of photos. But what I like to do, honestly, Walgreens prints are still pretty good.
Yeah.
And
we've got photo stores and also folks that I know who have photo printers and have offered to print stuff for me for cheap. So
here's my suggestion. Take any of the photos that you think you might want to hang up and go print out like 30 of them, 30 different ones, and then choose.
Yeah.
Right. So at that point, they're already printed.
Is there a service where I can just upload my whole Lightroom catalog and get one of each?
I mean, probably. I'm sure they'd be happy to sell you that many prints.
Yeah. Be like, yeah, that'll be $2,000. No.
But no, like seriously, if you print them out, like if you say, I don't know if this one's good enough, but I like it, print it out. And now you have it. Now it's already printed. So see what you think of it. It's you already spent the money. You spent, you know, it's not that much, $1 or $2 on each print.
Yeah.
It's much easier to say, yeah, okay, I'll hang it up. Whatever.
Yeah.
I have it. You got to remember, too, it's not permanent. You can just take it down and replace it with another one.
Yeah. That's true.
No, I like hanging up my own photos.
Thus far, the only thing I've actually managed to frame and hang up is the Nikon F100 ad I purchased.
You know, one way to do it, do you have, like, a wall in your house that you could turn into,
my house, yes.
Okay, well...
At least four of them.
You have a wall that doesn't have like anything on it that you could make into a gallery wall.
Yes, I have probably a couple of those. And in fact, I can tell that the previous residents of this house used like the wall going up the stairs.
That's a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
So here's what I recommend. Who has this tool? It's Adorama has their own photo printing service. Printique. Where they're like, they'll actually, if you just upload their pictures and they'll like print them and frame them and send it to you ready to go.
A Printique.
Which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
But what they do, which is very cool, they have a wall design wizard. And they have predefined layouts of pictures. So like you tell them how many pictures you want to hang up. So if I say I want to hang up 7 prints, it has a whole bunch of layouts of these pictures for a wall. And so here's one where like I want 7. So it'll print 2 8x12s, 2 4x11s, 2 8x10s, and 1 30x24 for the center.
Okay. This is interesting. Yeah.
So it gives you a bunch of options for like how to design a wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
With a bunch of prints. And then as you go through it, like you use their thing, you just upload the pictures and you pick the frames and they send you all the bits all ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little like it's pricier than going to IKEA for sure.
Wow.
But I mean, you can use their tool and then just go buy the frames. And
That's also true. I think this piques my curiosity. It printiques my curiosity, I guess.
And you can upload your own picture to the backdrop as well. Like it has like a default room, but you can put your own picture.
Yes, there's a very badly photoshopped couch.
No, it's not. It's not photoshopped. If you go into the editor, you can move all that stuff around.
Okay. All right.
You can move the couch around.
One. I'm changing the wall texture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty. This is a useful tool for trying to figure out how to do your decor.
Yeah.
On a gallery wall type thing.
Neat.
You can put in a dog in this tool, and a little dog you can drag in there.
But can I add in my dog as like a
I think so.
As like a sprite that I can drop in.
They have multiple dogs. There's a lot of dogs in here.
Oh wow.
Are
the dogs included with the? Or?
I don't know.
Okay.
But yes, print
much to think
print
about.
Your photos. There, it's good to do this.
No, I was just going to keep them and not show them to anyone ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a link in the show notes for this F-Stoppers article that we've been meaning to talk about since last fall that says, why do you own a camera if you're not printing your photos?
To which I respond, shut up. Don't ask me that. because I enjoy the process, I guess. I don't know.
Well, you also do film, which is a little different.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
I think they're talking more about digital, where like the typical workflow for a digital photographer is you take a bunch of pictures, you upload two of them to Instagram, and then you never look at them again.
Yeah. No, that's correct. Yeah. Right. That's the modus operandi. Yeah. I feel like if I had like a kid or a partner, I would maybe be more inclined to print out photos of them, but
I totally get that.
So
I get that. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just take like beauty shots of my cars or something.
I mean, yeah, if you can do that, you have that nice Miata now.
I do.
You could take some nice, you don't have the pop-up headlights, I guess.
No, I don't, but it's fine.
Another option you could look at is one of those digital picture frame things.
Oh, yeah. Are those any good? Because those were crap for a while.
So we got an Aura frame for my wife, my mother-in-law.
Okay.
It works pretty well, honestly.
Yeah.
Their app, of course, is a little jank, but like the frame itself works.
Yeah. Great. Well, I just, like years and years ago, the like digital displays on them were of abhorrent quality,
Yeah. They've gotten better.
But now it's like, listen, just stick an iPad display in there.
Seriously. They're more like the Samsung frame now. They're a matte display usually.
Okay, yeah. Oh, I'm seeing Aura digital picture frame.
Yeah, and you can get the Aura on sale at Costco sometimes, too.
Ooh. Now you're speaking my language.
But the Aura, so if you like have family members that you want to send photos to?
Yes, I feel
Aura
like I have
fantastic for that.
Yeah. This is interesting. I should honestly get this for my mom.
Yes, you should.
Yeah.
It's perfect for moms.
Yeah.
And you know what else? You can even it has a gift setup mode. Where you take it out of the box, like you barely undo the packaging, you plug it in and you tell it, "I'm going to set you up as a gift." And you create, like you set it up through the app as a gift. You put in their Wi-Fi information. And then literally all they have to do is open the box and plug the thing in. And it will automatically like connect, download all the pictures, provision itself, nice. And be good to go.
Yeah.
So we sent this to my mother-in-law. She literally just had to plug it in and it downloaded all the pictures that we had already uploaded to it. And it's good to go. Importantly, also you can share the account that's tied to each picture frame. you can share the frame with other people. So like you can get one for your parents, one for your grandparents, and they can like other people can upload pictures into it too, like other family members.
Yeah.
Huh. It's not just you.
To look into this more.
They've done a good job.
Yeah.
I do wish I have a
15-inch one.
Oh, that's new. I haven't seen that. I might get that one for myself, honestly.
Yeah. 15-inch, $299, you know?
Yeah.
Cheaper than stapling an iPad to the wall.
Well, they don't even have a 15-inch iPad.
Well, exactly.
It says it is a high-resolution color-calibrated screen. I'll be the judge of that.
Listen, I've got my data color right here.
I'll be the judge of that.
You're about to find out. Yeah. So as I mentioned, honestly, I was sort of astonished to learn this because this is kind of a big deal. The Dark Room, which is a big film lab, developing film lab and film photography project, are co-hosting a film photography meetup in where else but beautiful Columbus, Ohio.
Hey.
They're doing a photo walk.
Okay.
Which will be along the Scioto Mile, right in downtown. And then after that, there is a beers and camera meetup at Land Grant Brewing Company. And I'm going to both these things. I honestly don't know if there's a point to me bringing this up because, yeah, the beers and camera meetup is already sold out, but there's still tickets to the photo walk available. And also the photo walk like is, you know, just out and about in public. So I'm sure you could show up, you know. But yeah, I listen, you know, here in Columbus, Ohio, we don't get many things. So the fact that like these are pretty big players in the film photography space and they're coming to Columbus makes me think that we might have something going here, I guess.
I would say you do.
There was a limit of 130 people at the beers and camera meetup and that's sold out now. So,
wow. Yeah. That doesn't seem like.
And I thought I knew most of the film photographers in Columbus. So apparently I guess not.
I mean, Columbus does have almost 1 million residents.
This is true.
Like, yeah, there's got to be more than 130 people who know how to do film.
Well, yeah, probably.
Right. Like, there's got to be.
Well, judging by how busy my friend Adam, who runs Process 614, often is, may be right.
I think a lot of the film people just don't talk about it online.
That is probably true. Yeah.
They're taking film and they're hanging it up in their house.
They're taking film, they're hanging it up. They're posting it to Instagram, but they're not really on any of the other social medias. They don't have the brainworms like we do.
No,
yeah.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah. So yeah, links to all of that is in the show notes if you're in the Columbus area or Ohio or wish to travel, you know. I don't know. Arthur, you want to book a flight?
I tell you what, flights to Ohio this time of year are not good.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, right now, because of the eclipse, travel in the next 2 weeks to anywhere in the eclipse path is a nightmare.
Oh, God. Yeah. And let me tell you, I don't know if you knew this, but there's an eclipse happening. I've been hearing about it on a daily basis for like the past month. Like, it's a big deal around here to the point that
you know why it's a big deal, right? It's because there isn't going to be another total solar eclipse that passes the United States for another 40 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you want to see one in the U.S., this is it.
Yeah.
Come on down.
I'm hoping to use some of my hyper local Ohio knowledge to find a place to photograph it that won't be super crowded. We'll see how that goes. I'll report back.
Your yard?
Well, maybe. Yeah.
I don't know if you have to go that far.
I don't have to go that far, but if I want to get a longer totality, I do have to go a little bit further north. Yeah.
Well, set up multiple cameras at once. Be one of those guys. Get your digital on one tripod. Get your film.
Oh, God.
A couple of films on other tripods. Get a shutter release cable.
I don't think I have a good enough lenses for that. I have, like, my Minolta X700 pointed at the sun with its 50mm prime lens. Like, it's well, you fine. Know, it's going to look like a dot, but
it's, it's probably fine.
Yeah. It's going to look like a dot because it's just going to burn a hole in the film. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And finally, we have our camera history segment. And this is one I'm kind of surprised that we haven't done this one yet. You must be aware of this. The Hasselblad X-Pan.
Not really.
Oh, really? Yeah. This is one of the most sought after film cameras.
Interesting.
In this day and age. And that's okay. Because this is, well, so the dirty little secret is this isn't a Hasselblad. It's actually a Fuji camera. Hasselblad does not make like 35mm cameras. So Fuji made this and Hasselblad sold it. You could buy it as a Fuji as well. It was the Fuji TX1. But what's unique about this is a 35mm panoramic rangefinder camera. And this isn't panoramic like your dinky point and shoot was, where it just like dropped black bars over the normal frame.
Yeah, this is looks like it's actually exposing.
This will actually expose a 24x65mm frame, which is twice the length of a conventional 24x36mm 35mm frame. So, yes.
Huh. Okay.
So it makes for some very compelling images. And this is, you know, basically, it's a very high quality camera. It had a choice of three lenses. 45, 90, and 30mm. You could use all but the 30mm with the normal viewfinder. The 30mm, you need an external viewfinder to get the extra, wide angle.
I'm like looking at some example shots. That is very wide.
It's very wide. Yeah. Wow. It's like, you know, what, like IMAX wide, if not wider?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And so these are highly sought after. They're well built, so many of them survive. Although they're not very old. These only came out in 1998, which, I mean, was a while ago now, but also not that old in terms of film cameras. Also, these kind of do a neat party trick where you could on the fly switch between the panoramic and standard frame.
How do they do that?
So the way that they did this is that you put the film roll in and then it ate up all the film onto the other spool and then shot it backwards into the film canister. So it knew where the end of the film was and could sort of back calculate, like,
interesting,
if you took, you know, so it allowed you to on the fly switch between pano and not pano. But yeah, but on a 36 exposure roll, you usually got 21 panoramic shots.
That's more than I would expect.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
You'd get less than that.
Yeah. So these are, like I say, highly sought after. If you put in X-Pan on eBay, you will see that they typically go for at least $4,000, if not well higher than that. Yeah.
I'm guessing when these came out, they were like $600.
Yeah, I don't think they were that nearly that expensive. Yeah.
Why?
And I think the price is only getting higher here because I am seeing that, like, I'm not seeing. OK, I'm seeing one that is less than $4,000. It's $3,890.
Oh,
I'm seeing
that's a deal.
I'm seeing a lot that are in the $5,000-$7,000 range. I'm also seeing like low shutter count ones for north of $10,000. Like it's ridiculous, frankly. Even a lens cap for one of these is $118. So, yeah.
So, I mean, what if you wanted to do this kind of thing today? There is no equivalent, right?
So I guess there are other kinds of 35mm panoramic cameras that you can get. Most of them are also, you know, used, but they don't shoot in quite the same way. They're like swing lens models, like the Horizon or the Wide Lux.
And I'm guessing they also don't use just regular old 35 millimeter film.
No, they do. They do, but the way that they take the photo is different. Rather than just, because this is like a lens that exposes all at once, you know, onto that size, whereas a swing lens will be literally like swing its lens from one side to the other across 180 degrees sweep.
Yeah, which ruins it if there's like motion in
the right. Yeah. Yeah. I think the only new camera that you could buy that shoots 35 millimeter panoramic is the Lomography Sprocket Rocket.
Lomography Sprocket Rocket.
Yeah. Which is, I think,
I've never heard that, but sure.
I think, yes, this is a, this is in their experimental category. This is, you know, so the thing about this is it exposes a, it exposes a panoramic image by virtue of just, exposing onto everything, including the sprockets of the film.
Oh yeah, I see that. That's an interesting effect.
Yeah, and also, like, this is a 30 millimeter fixed focal length, and you have a aperture choice of 10.8 or 16. So, and one shutter speed. So it's not, you know, it's not really comparable in sort of like quality, you know.
Now it is only $79 though.
Right.
So that helps.
Yes. There's a few folks out there who've taken upon themselves to mod other cameras into X-Pan alikes. There's a guy who basically you can pay him a lot of money and he'll like machine out an old like Nikon FE2 or whatever. And then you get like a Mamiya press lens for a medium format camera and like graft them together.
Sure.
There was also a guy, and I looked into this, who designed a panoramic camera that you could 3D print. And I thought, well, that's cool. I have a 3D printer. But no, the kind of 3D printer that this guy's using is like an industrial, super high quality, multi-jet fusion 3D printer.
Sure.
It's like, oh, okay.
Okay, you could probably do it if you had a resin printer. You could probably do it just fine.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. It had quite a lot of intricate black parts. Yeah.
If you shot with, if you made it with black filament on a resin machine, there shouldn't be any light leak.
Yeah,
it should work.
But yeah, there's this great article from the Casual Photophile from 2022 that is entitled "The Curse of the Hasselblad X-Pan." It says, to hear about the Hasselblad X-Pan as a casual photophile is to become cursed. Cursed to desire one, cursed to break the bank buying one, cursed to realize that you have no real life use for it, and then you sell it and you're cursed again to yearn for the time you had one and to know that you will never get it again.
Oh my God.
So there are people for whom this is like the greatest camera in the world. You know? So, but I feel like, you know, as an example, one of the used camera stores near me has two Hasselblad X-Pans, you know, on the shelf and has had them on the shelf for some months now because I think they are simply too expensive at this point. Like, I don't know. I haven't even bothered to ask them how expensive they are because it's not worth it. You know?
Yeah, no, it would not bother.
Yeah, so... You know, here's the thing. Like, I would really like to use this camera. Like, I think the super panoramic, I like the look of that. But I also feel like that's something where, like, I would find, like, diminishing returns in trying to make use of that, you know?
Agree.
'Cause like, that only works, you know, like, I guess you could do portraits on panoramic film like as an art thing, but like surely that gets old pretty quickly, you know. Probably. I don't know.
I think I would rather use medium format.
I'd like to shoot like a roll or two with an X-Pan, but I honestly don't know if I would use it beyond that. So,
yeah, I think I agree with you.
So if anyone wants to rent me one, get in touch.
Lens rentals should buy several of them, and then you can like, you're allowed to rent them once per account.
Yeah.
Like, if you make a Lens Rentals account, you can rent it once.
That's what, yeah, it's like the Hertz, it. It's like the Hertz, what is it, like President's Club or whatever? Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Just make it so that, yeah, like, everyone gets to try one.
It's like, these are the super exclusive ones. Like, you can rent them. It's quite expensive. You know, it's a luxury thing. But, like, if you want to do it, it's here kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I mean, who knows? Maybe we can convince one of these other companies to start.
Hasselblad, sponsor us.
Yeah, Hasselblad.
Give us an old X-Pan that you
surely they have around. Laying yeah. around, maybe.
Or Fuji, you know. Yeah. I know Fuji has one lying around that they're not using, I'm sure.
Just, so, just one.
Yeah.
It's confusing, too. It's the TX one instead of the XT series.
Yeah.
I
yeah,
misread yeah. that initially. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you were like, XT1? No, yeah, this is yeah. right. Even more expensive than an XT1. Well, this has been Sensor Noise. You can find us at sensornoise.com. And on Blue Sky and on Instagram. And if you like the podcast, tell a friend about the podcast. Don't just tell a friend, like, I feel like that's not specific enough. Yeah.
Hey, I like this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I'm listening to a podcast that I really like.